Good morning. It is 10:10, 10:04, 10:10 time to. Melanie, where are you? Stand up. Out. Why don't you greet somebody? You didn't come with this morning. Greet somebody you didn't come in the door with this morning. Oh, good morning. Great. Come on. The lighter?
Well, often we keep them in the table.
Oh, okay. These and the Christ candle, if you can.
Yes.
Whew. I know, but you can do it. Perfect. Thank you. Yes, the candle is burning. Okay, Carmen, you're in charge of the fire extinguisher. Yes. Thank you, Nick. We have a few announcements as we begin this morning. Trish, where are you? Come on up.
No.
Okay. Then don't. Okay, for those of you who didn't hear that, we have Oreos. Now, there's nothing wrong with Oreos. If you want to go buy Oreos, they come in lots of varieties now. We need cookies for fellowship time. Excuse me. We need cookies for fellowship time, so bake a bunch of cookies, bring them downstairs, label them if there are nuts or no nuts in them, and we need people to sign up to host fellowship time, and there's a sign-up sheet downstairs. Is that the gist of it? Okay. All right. Oreos are quite lovely. You can bake cookies. You can buy lots of delicious kinds of cookies. And bring them and say, I baked them myself. Which I'm familiar with doing. You can bring goldfish and say, I baked it all myself. You can bring teddy grams. Those would be lovely. Anyway, Bring stuff. We need it. Undecorating the church will be next Sunday after worship, after this service of worship. So please plan on staying for that. Elders will meet, let's see, Monday the 6th at 7 o'clock. Their dinner will be on Friday the 10th. And you can read when the board will meet. I'd like to call your attention to the announcements page and what Kathy is going to play for our offering meditation. While she's playing, you might want to follow along with the words. She has included them here, and they are quite lovely, so you might want to please pay attention to those. Are there any more announcements this morning? The church office will be closing at noon on New Year's Eve and all day on New Year's Day. So, if there are no other announcements. Oh, by the way, while I'm here, I just thought of this. Where is she? Nick, is your oh, there she is. Jennifer Grooms is one of the most fantastically creative people on the planet. The Christmas Eve service for kids was, in all my years of ministry, which has been 30-some, I think. Right, John? Yeah, 30-some. It is the first Christmas Eve service for children that has actually been for children that I have seen in all those years of ministry. And so, Jennifer, thank you for doing that. And if you were here, you understand what it was. And if you weren't here, it was absolutely fabulous. Often, services of worship for children aren't actually geared towards children, but this was. And it was enjoyable, it was wonderful, and thank you, Jennifer, for doing that. Thank you. That's something to grow a church on. So, thank you for that, and let's begin our worship service with the prelude. Kathy? Thank you, Kathy. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Come, let us rejoice with voice and heart and song, for Emmanuel is now here.
We raise our voices in song to rejoice to the world, for the Lord is come.
Come, let us help the fields and mountains and valleys resound with voices of joy and adulation.
We come with joy in our hearts to bring the good news to the world, for the Lord is come. Let us rejoice in the last song.
Our opening hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, number 150. Let us pray. God of glory, your splendor shines from a manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born into the darkness of our human night. Open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadows of our world, so that we too may become light of your love and hope and welcome of all for whom there is no room. This we pray in Jesus' name, who grew in love and taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, kids. Let's go. You know what? I'm gonna stand up, because if I sit down, I may not stand up again. So let's stand up today, okay?
Stand up?
Yep, we're gonna stand up.
Look at, I have a front loader toy.
A front loader toy?
Yes.
Okay. What's in here? I don't know. Well, I guess I'm gonna have some help. Yeah, what is it? Oh, my goodness, what in the world have we got here?
I don't know.
What is it? A mouse?
A mouse. I'll cover your mouth.
Wait a minute. I think this is something special.
Yeah.
Is it, Jennifer?
No?
Yeah.
No.
I can't do it. I thought it might be a puppet, but it's not. This was made with what?
Yarn.
What am I going to do with yarn?
I don't know.
You don't know? No ideas for me?
Yeah.
Anyone have an idea?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Knit or crochet?
Knit or crochet. Something that you make.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
What did God make?
Life. God make,
Life.
Life? Yeah.
Life, yes.
What else did he make? Did he make worms?
Yes.
Did
animals.
He make... Animals?
Yeah.
Animals. Did you make insects?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I like white. White is my favorite color.
White is your favorite color?
Yes.
Well, we have here a yarn mouse. A yarn mouse. I think God had something to do with making this, don't you?
Huh?
How?
That's a cover of his feet. To cover him.
Is it because God made yarn?
Yes.
Did he make yarn? Where does yarn come from?
Yarn comes from...
Wool? And where does wool come from? An animal.
Yes, an animal.
So even in the strangest things, we can see God's work, right? Hello there. Oh. Are you okay, Lyric?
I'm okay.
I think Omari was excited. How's the baby sister? But you're the big sister now. How's the baby sister? Out of the strangest things, we can see God's hand, right? Even the most unusual things, we can see God's work, right?
Yes.
Is he always with us?
Yeah.
No matter what, is God always with us? Right. All right, let's say a prayer, okay? Repeat after me.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for all the things you've made.
Thank you for all the things you've made.
That we can rejoice in your presence.
In our lives.
Every single day. We ask that you stay with us. Open our hearts to your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Who hasn't had the basket?
I don't know.
Who hasn't? Oh, Mari, you haven't had the basket? Oh, he put his hand down?
Yeah.
He has? Well, let's see. I'm going to... All of you stand in front of me, right here.
Okay.
Face me. I'm going to close my eyes so I don't know who is around, and I'm just going to swing. Whoops, somebody's trying to grab it. Someone's trying to grab it, and we're going to go right there. Oh, okay.
Macy, you want
it? Macy's got the basket. All right? For next week, dear. Oh, well, I don't know. I guess I get to keep it. Okay.
Don't keep it.
You don't keep it? No, we won't keep it. Macy, we're going to put it back in the basket, okay? All right, let's go.
I'll be in line later.
You'll get yours later, okay. Come on, sweetie.
Hi.
So on this first Sunday of Christmas, tell me about your joys. Yes. You're leaving for Mexico on Saturday. Yay. And if you ask anybody at the first service, I will stand here and wait. Yes, Cal.
I'm still able to take care of Monica.
You're still able to take care of Monica. Yes, that's a joy. Yes. Okay. Yesterday, one of the guys came and helped Debbie. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I'm thankful that I had all three daughters and their families
here. All three daughters and their families here for Christmas.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, we are really quick with concerns. Y'all need to work on this joy thing. Come on. Joys. Yes, Gloria. Thank you. Dan.
We have four adults and three children for Christmas dinner and a 22-pound turkey, so we got lots of luck.
Boy, howdy. Okay. Lunch is at Dan's. Yes. Well, yay. 68th wedding anniversary.
Maggie and I just celebrated 16 years of marriage.
Well, how about that? That's not a small thing anymore. I went home, and then I came back home, and the road was dry both ways. John Hull's a fool. I mean, he will drive in anything. You know, like that Mike Ward guy. Well, yeah, I know. But look what he's related to now. I mean, really. See, there you go. No. Christmas was lovely. Okay. Work on that joy thing, people. Australia is awfully hot. And so please hold people, the country of Australia, in your prayers. There was a plane crash in Louisiana. There was an attack at the rabbi's home in New York during a Hanukkah party. Are there other concerns? As Gloria said, we're in trying times. Are there other concerns to share this morning? Yes, Debbie. People who are out in the cold. Mm-hmm. Let's join together in prayer. All together in one place, O God, trusting in your great love. We bring those things with which we are grateful for, those things which concern us, those things we hold deep within our hearts, and we place them before you. Knowing that you care for us and you care for our world, knowing that you are with us each moment. because of the child of Bethlehem. Gracious God, we pray this day for all who have come with us to Bethlehem. We pray for all who are poor and cold and hungry, like the shepherds, that they may hear good news. We pray for all who are wandering and searching like the Magi, that they may find the place to leave their gifts and their burdens. We pray for all who are busy and hurried and preoccupied like the innkeeper, that they may know the peace that comes from genuine acts of hospitality. We pray for all who, like Herod, have power, that they may use it with goodwill. And we pray for ourselves, we who need comfort, peace, joy, hope, grateful hearts, even in this starlit season and all the days of our lives. We are your children, loving God, and we belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Pastor Karen alluded to, we had a great service, early service on Christmas Eve, and I hope that those of you that came to the late service had a great one too. At the early service, we had a celebration of communion for all ages. We had Teddy Graham cookies as the bread and apple juice in the cup. Now, my daughters had two very different experiences during communion that night, both of which ended up going through line twice. First, our youngest, Natalie, came through the line and gently took one Teddy Graham, and her and Aunt Judy headed back to the pews. When Natalie tasted that bear, she immediately wanted some more, and she made Judy come back through the line to get another one. And when they got to the front, Natalie reached out like she had the time before to get a Teddy Graham. But this time, instead of gentle, she dove right in and took a handful. She finished those in the pew, and then she spent the rest of the service, which luckily for Aunt Judy, communion was towards the end of service. Natalie spent the rest of the service signing that she wanted more, 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 more. So, Peg, I'm sorry if there's crumbs there in the pew, and I'm sorry for those of you that'll read in the call, clean up the pews when you get done, and everything. That's all Natalie. Mackenzie, on the other hand, came up with Maggie, and when they reached the tray and cup, Mackenzie was kind of unsure of what she was supposed to do, and she became shy in Maggie's arms, and she didn't want any communion. Maggie told her that was totally fine, and they headed back to the pews. But as they made the turn, Mackenzie realized she did want communion. And she started to cry a little bit. So back into line, another one of my daughters goes. And this time when they come up front, Mackenzie takes a Teddy Graham. I think these two different experiences, Natalie and Mackenzie that night, are beautiful examples, and not just because I'm a biased father, but I think they're beautiful examples of how we as disciples see this table. Everyone is welcome. Jesus met both of my daughters at the table that night. With Natalie, as she came back around for her second handful, she was like that brand new believer that's so on fire for Jesus that they can't get enough. Or for those of us that have been coming to church for a while, we go through that in our lives too. We have our low points. But then we have those days or times when we're just so full of joy and diving right in. Jesus saw Natalie that night, and he didn't tisk and say, no, 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 that's not right. Church rules say only one. No, I think Jesus smiled at that situation. And not only that, I think he helped Natalie top off her pile and get as much as she could in those little baby hands. Mackenzie, she was just like those who feel unsure about their relationship with God. Maybe even those that feel unworthy. Or expanding the example further, maybe like those who just don't think that this church and religion stuff is for them. But when she came around for her second trip, Jesus didn't say to her, nope, you denied me and you refused me the first time. This isn't for you. No, he was still right there waiting for her at the table. As we come to this table today, I pray that whether you are struggling or if you're craving a handful, I pray that you feel Jesus' presence in your life and that you know the great love of our God that this table represents. Our hymn of communion this morning is number 153. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. It came upon a midnight clear.
And the night before he gave his life, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant for you. As often as you drink it, do so in memory of me." Let us pray.
God of history, who is always with us, we come into your presence at the beginning of another year to praise and to give thanks. May we, in these moments of communion, resolve to live each day of the coming year, seeking to follow more closely in your way. We eat the bread, O God, in rededication and commitment to this, a new beginning. On this first Sunday of another new year, most loving God, we take this cup with a sense of newness and anticipation as we remember Jesus at his table. Grant us the insight, O God, to see more clearly the path you would have us follow in the days of the coming year. Be with us in our efforts to know your will and to serve you more faithfully. Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to do the moment for mission, and it's provided by the Greater Kansas City Region, because it's one of the best ones I saw. Come, they told me. Who are they? We don't know who they are. We don't know who they are who told the poor drummer boy mentioned in the popular Christmas song to see the newborn king. Who were the people who told you about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? Who encouraged you to become familiar with the example and teaching of this person whose name the world still remembers and celebrates almost 2,000 years after his death and resurrection? Think about those people who encouraged you. If we had the time to learn more about the people whose names you just thought about, we might discover that all of them were connected in some way to a church they did not build, a faith community they did not create, and a movement they did not start. Regional ministry includes connecting people who help connect other people to Jesus. Our congregation, together with the other congregations in the Rocky Mountain region, organize summer church camps, call and equip pastors and other church leaders, and share stories of what God is doing within and beyond our partnership in the region. You make this vital work possible. Imagine how many people have come to faith and will come to faith in Jesus because you and so many other disciples in our region are continually working together, developing new ways to invite new generations to meet Jesus and help them to grow in their faith. Today, we bring an extra gift in honor of those who first told us about the newborn king. As we do this, we help our region continue connecting and supporting those who will share that good news with children, youth, and adults in the coming year. Thank you.
As we sit this morning between our celebrations of Christmas and turning the calendar page, let us reflect on the blessings in our lives, and then let us respond to that reflection with gratitude. In our hearts, let's kneel before the Christ child and bring all that we have and all that we are. With the Christmas spirit still strong, let us offer our gifts in wonder and surprise, in joy and delight. The diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Will you please pray with me? Dear God, we cannot thank you enough for the gift of your Son. Through your grace, you have given us everything, including our very lives. We just celebrated the miracle of Christmas, But when the candles are blown out, when the ringing of the bells has ceased, when the angels and shepherds have gone home, may we continue to shine your light into the world through the giving of these offerings. May these gifts become God with us for all the world. May these gifts breathe magic back into a world that needs a sense of wonder and joy. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Lonnie. The first reading is from Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that God has shown them according to God's mercy, according to the abundance of God's steadfast love. For God said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And God became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but God's presence that saved them. In God's love and in God's pity, God redeemed them. God lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And the second reading is from Matthew 2. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Now, after they had left. Once every 3 years, if the calendar falls just right, this story comes around. The story we call the flight to Egypt is only told once in the Gospels. And quite frankly, it once is enough, and that's in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's not a pretty story and it's not a happy story. And if we think about it for a minute, it's a story that we are all too familiar with these days in our world. Families being dislocated, escaping in the night to safety, villages being massacred, unjust rulers in power. It's a harsh and violent and horrific story that intrudes into the goodness and into the joy of Christmas. And David Luce at Luther Seminary in St. Paul says this. He says, so while the story Matthew tells may be dark and difficult, it is not even a bit far-fetched, which is why, of course, he tells it, to let us know that in Jesus, in Emmanuel,
God did indeed draw near to us, took on our lot and our life, and experienced and endured all that we did. Disappointment, fear, violence, even death. Also, we would know that we are not alone, that we do not suffer alone, fear alone, live and die alone. If anything, this is Matthew's version of the Incarnation, part two. It's an important story for such a time as this, for such a time as we find ourselves in, this particular time in our country and this particular time in our world. However, I believe it is a story and a time that is best discussed and pondered together, where the biblical text may be unpacked and opened, where learning may be possible, where opinions may be shared gracefully. Not here, in one-way speech, with a captive audience, so to speak, where misinterpretation is always possible. So, if you would like to take a look at this story and consider it alongside our world today, John and I are going to be here tomorrow at 10:30 to discuss this story. We'll be here tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. And I asked John to come and do this because I would have to break out all sorts of books, and John just has to go looking around in his head for a few minutes. I'm a pastor. John's a scholar and a historian and has easy access to information in his head, especially when it comes to biblical text and languages. So, if you are interested in putting this story alongside the cultural context of our country and our world and how these two might interact with each other, tomorrow at 10:30 we'll be here. So, today, this morning, for a few minutes, we're going to take a look at this story from another perspective. We're going to look at it through the eyes of a few artists. One thing I learned in seminary, one of the first principles that gets pounded into our heads when learning about studying scripture is context. Now, context is extremely important. Like, if you're going to study a psalm, we would want to know, was it used in worship? Was it used by the community together? Was it used by individuals? Was it for celebration? Was it a lament? And then we would ask, what about the reader themselves? We bring our own life circumstances to the text when we read scripture. When any of us read or ponder or consider biblical text, we read it through our own worldview, our own reality, and our own experience, our own lens, so to speak. I have a cousin, Debbie, and she and I don't read the stories of Jesus and his disciples on the Sea of Galilee the same. My cousin Debbie and her husband made their living with their fishing boat in Gibson's, British Columbia. They fished for a living, and so that gives her a different insight, a different perspective when she reads those stories of Jesus and Peter and his disciples. That helps give added meaning and depth to the stories of Jesus. Artists do the same thing. And so we're going to look at a few different artists and how they have interpreted this story. Sometimes artists and poets understand the Bible better than we do. Sometimes. So, the first one, this is by James Tissot. He was a French painter and he was a Catholic. He had a reconversion experience when he was 49 years old and spent the rest of his life illustrating the Bible. He traveled to the Middle East to study the landscape and the people for his work. And some of you, do any of you recognize this painting, his Journey of the Magi? This is his Journey of the Magi. They didn't go alone, you see. And this is, we'll talk about this next week. But he also painted the flight into Egypt, and I want you to look and see how he tells the story. The Magi, you can see, are on their way home, up in the top there. Yep. The lectionary has this, has the gospel out of sync. Matthew's gospel begins with a genealogy. It begins with Abraham, and Jesus is born somewhere in Bethlehem without shepherds, without innkeepers, without mangers, and without the heavenly host. And only the angel is the one, only the angel that appears in Joseph's dream is common to Luke's story. The Magi arrive on Herod's doorstep, and upon hearing the news about the birth of the new king, Matthew tells us that Herod is terrified. He's literally shaking in his boots. And all of Jerusalem with him, the whole city is terrified at the news, except the Magi, who go on their way with Herod's blessing. The star stops, the very happy Magi knock on the door of the house. Learn that on Christmas Eve. They offer their gifts to the child. They are warned not to go home the same way they came, by way of Herod's place. And so here they are in the background on their way home, while Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are on their way to Egypt. Can you see Jesus? Yeah, Jesus, is, it appears, can sit up. Yeah. He may not have been an infant. He could have been a small child by the time the Magi arrived. And Joseph there is looking like a person from the Middle East. You see the skeleton of the camel, which is showing us, he's trying to tell us that the journey across the desert was treacherous. Treacherous. And if you look again at the Magi in the background, you see they're leaving along with their entourage. They didn't come alone in the first painting. They arrive with a big community in tow. But you see the Holy Family, they're leaving their home, escaping, fleeing their home in the middle of the night. You see, then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. And what does this painter say they took with them? All those lovely gifts, household goods they may need, treasured possessions. It looks like, as we say, they left with the clothes on their back. And again, a visual reminder that, as Dr. Stan Saunders says, the immediacy and the danger and the swift and certain obedience of Joseph. So, a lot going on. And on that note, about the swift and certain obedience of Joseph, here's a painting from 2008. It's a little bit different. This was done for a family Christmas card. And the painter says, I find it amazing that the God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, chose to become a human. And not just a human, but a child in a womb for 9 months, and then a baby in a family, and then a child, and then a teenager, and a man in a family until he was 30 years old. The God of the universe trusted in Mary and Joseph to take care of him, protect him, to do whatever it took, to listen to angels and leave on a moment's notice and go to a foreign country to ensure the safety of their child. May this Christmas inspire us to pray for the safety of all children. Now, his desert is depicted a little differently than Tissot's. This artist was 57 years old when he painted this, and he lived in Austin, Texas. And so you see, instead of a camel skeleton, we see plants that grow in the desert of the American Southwest. Prickly pear cactus, yucca trees, Indian paintbrush, and you can see the field of grain. Bethlehem's part of the Fertile Crescent, by the way. And if you look at this, if you can see the city, oops, I'm turning and not turning right, but anyway. If The family is escaping Herod's massacre, and now they're headed towards the pyramids of Egypt. And you can see how the artist has inserted his own theological take on the story with the Egyptian statue in the upper left. See the pyramids in the back there? And the grain and the yucca plants there. And Jesus, the grown-up little child with his halo. And that brings us to the next one. This is from another 19th century French artist. They say his work was overlooked during his lifetime because he happened to be painting while the Impressionists were big, and he wasn't an Impressionist, so he designed postage stamps. But this, Rest on the Flight to Egypt, is in the Museum of Fine Art in Boston. Now, clearly, it's in the middle of the Egyptian desert at night, and yes, that's a sphinx that Mary and Jesus are resting on. The light there is Jesus, as you can see. The original piece is fairly dark, and the only bit of light besides the fire where Joseph is that light shining from the baby Jesus as he sleeps in his mother's arms. A little different. Rest on the Flight to Egypt was also the first biblical painting done over 400 years ago by Caravaggio. Did I say that right? Caravaggio? Yeah. Okay. That's the next one. Yep. Very smart people have written volumes in several languages on the details and the meanings of this painting. I included it today because of the look on Joseph's face. He's holding the music. I don't know how well you can see it. He looks old, and he doesn't look just tired. He looks weary. It was a long journey from Bethlehem to Egypt. Matthew doesn't tell us how long, and he doesn't tell where in Egypt the family settled. At the time, it was about 75 miles from Bethlehem to the Egyptian border. And some say, according to Philo, that the nearest Jewish settlement inside Egypt was about 100 more miles past the border. It was a long journey. And to say it was a hard, difficult journey would be an understatement. Remember, they're not just moving to another town. They are escaping Herod and his soldiers who are searching for them, who want to find them, who want to destroy Jesus. Mary and Joseph and Jesus are on the run, and they won't be traveling along the beaten path, so to speak. I don't know how to speak French, so those of you who are familiar with French, pardon me. But Jean-François Millet was a 19th century French painter, known for pastoral scenes of peasants and farmers and contemporary social conditions, and you may be familiar with this. Y'all seen this before? Maybe in school? The Man with a Hoe? Well, he also did this sketch of the flight to Egypt. It's a little difficult and a little dark to see, but the family is dressed as French peasants. And look who's carrying the baby. And Jesus is a baby when they're leaving. Yeah. There's no donkey. The family is walking. All the other paintings have a donkey. What's the big deal? So, there's no donkey in the story. It's just like those three magi, those three wise ones. You know, the story of the wise people is unique to the Gospel of Matthew as well, but
The writer of the Gospel of Matthew never mentions how many there are. And as I said earlier, this story of the flight to Egypt is unique to Matthew. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. We blend scripture and tradition all the time. And many times we don't realize it. The last painting we have is by an American artist who bridged the 19th and 20th centuries and who throughout his life created 15 different paintings on this one story. Henry Ossawa Tanner was born in Pittsburgh in 1859. His father was a minister and a bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. His mother was born into slavery and escaped as a child to Pittsburgh through the Underground Railroad. This story, the flight into Egypt, was his favorite biblical story because it spoke to him of God's care and of freedom from oppression and persecution and prejudice and he and his family had experienced in their own lives. He wanted others to experience faith through his art. He said, "I preach with my paintbrush." Now, we may not have the same discerning eye when it comes to art. We may or may not like or appreciate it in the same way. Each of these images that we've seen, we may not like any of them. We may love all of them. We have different tastes. But they all have something to teach us about who God is, who Jesus is, who we are as God's children. The scholar and the artist both agree that God is with us, Jesus is God among us, and we will never be alone. And they teach us that the God of the universe trusts us to be his family. The creator of heaven and earth trusts us to care for and protect the vulnerable and to listen and respond with swift obedience as Joseph did. The God of Mary, the God of Joseph, and the God of Jesus trusts us to be the holy family, a source of hope, a source of joy and peace and love and light for all the world, even when the path is difficult and the way is unclear. God is with us. God trusts us, and that is the good news for this day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of the universe, ruler of all worlds, may we be your holy family. May we be like Mary and Joseph, always ready to listen, ever ready to respond to your voice and your leading, even when the way is difficult and uncertain. Shine your light among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is Joy to the World. If you are looking for a church family or would like to make a confession of faith, we invite you to come forward as we sing together. Thank you. So remember, if you want to talk about that story, this story, and put it alongside the world today, 10:30 tomorrow, John and I will be up here somewhere. Somewhere where there's a board. Oh, probably in your classroom, Dan, if you don't mind, because John needs to write. You know, well, with this hand, but anyway, we'll be here. Y'all have a good day, be careful, and come back again, because y'all are really nice to look at. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, and the God of all of you be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.